I am
what it says I am.
Now say, I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right. Well, we are in our series entitled Grace to Reign in Life. Grace to Reign in Life. Go with me to our foundational text, which is Romans, the fifth chapter, and the first verse. Romans, the fifth chapter, and the first verse. And I just pray that this has been a good lesson to you all thus far, and that you've been learning in this lesson, and that you understand that there is a multifaceted, many-sided grace that can come on your life to the degree that you access it by faith so you can see God do some amazing things in your life. Amen? Everybody say, I'm grace for this. I don't care what the situation is. God is greater than your situation, and you are grace to win in life. You have been designed and engineered by God to win in life. You have been designed and engineered by God not only to overcome some situation, but to overcome every situation and get the victory in life. And that is something that I am going to drive home, because it is the order of God that you get the victory in life. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified, how, class? By faith. So we're justified, or we're declared right by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And the writer says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so we said that there's this grace. Well, let's put up our definition, and we'll hop right into it. There's this grace that can come on us. The grace of God is the unmerited favor of God. We know that the favor of God is the willingness of others to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help us prosper. Isn't that right? And so it is the unmerited favor of God. It is the unearned provision of God. Even though, yes, I work and I get a paycheck and do those things, there are sometimes God does some things for me that I didn't even earn just because he wants me to have it. And so there are some provisions that he just provides for me because God doesn't want me to have enough. God wants me to have more than enough. The only way I can be a blessing to somebody else is if I have enough to take care of my stuff and still bless somebody else, right? And so, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so it is the unearned provision of God. And I love this part. It is the unrestricted power of God made available to man to bring victory in life situation. And I have to understand that this grace is many-sided, and that there's this grace that comes on me. It is a strength that comes on me. It is an ability that comes on me to give me an advantage position, all right? So it puts me in a position that everybody else is not in, and it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with that person. The only difference between me and them is I understand that I access this grace by faith. Some people don't believe in it. Too bad for them. You understand what I'm saying? And so I understand, because I'm in faith, I'm releasing my faith for this grace, that I walk in this grace, and it gives me this advantage position to, watch this, to overcome every obstacle so I can get the victory in life. Amen? And so we've been talking about three simple points throughout this lesson, and we said that grace was critical to our potential. We said that grace is confirmed through partnership, and we said that grace is conveyed through persistence. Grace is conveyed through persistence. And that is kind of where we've been talking about since Sunday, and I'm going to continue in that way. There is a grace that is on us to win in life, but how many know we must stay in the fight? If you stay in the fight, you will win. If you keep swinging, you are going to hit something. The key is having this disciplined approach to life, having this disciplined approach to life that I'm going to confess the word when I don't feel like confessing the word. That I'm going to give God praise when I don't feel like giving God praise. Because let's just be honest, sometimes your flesh don't feel like praising God. And sometimes your flesh don't feel like praying. You got it? Sometimes your flesh don't feel like coming to church. Isn't that right? And so, but we understand that feelings follow actions, and actions don't follow feelings. You got it? And so what do I mean by feelings follow actions? Actions are always at the forefront. Feelings are not at the forefront. So feelings might say, man, I'm tired. I don't feel like going to church. No, no. And actions say, oh, no, no, no. We forsake not the assembling of ourselves. I'm going to press my way because there's a blessing in the pressing. I believe that when I get there, my man of God is going to have a word for me that's going to give me that boost. You got it? That's going to recharge me. That's going to energize me to get me through the rest of the week. You got it? And so, amen. The Bible says he always causes us to triumph. So if somebody's telling you that you cannot win in every area of life, don't listen to them. The Bible says he always calls us to triumph, and he always calls us to win in Christ. So it's to the degree that I do it God's way that I will get God results. But I have to do it God's way. You got it? I can't be, shucking and jiving. Do y'all even know what shucking and jiving is? All right? What's the next part of that shucking and jiving? What's the second part? Y'all don't know? Something in conniving. Y'all ain't never heard of that stuff before? Oh, yeah, yeah. Y'all ain't from the old school. All right. But I cannot do what I want and think God is going to show up in my life. Isn't that right? Well, since we just parked there, let's just park there and just talk for a minute. Most people don't like to talk about sin, but how many know we need to? Because sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you start praying prayers that you never should pray. Lord, if you just get me out of this, I won't ever ask you to do anything else for me again. See, I don't pray prayers like that. I feel like I understand I'm going to need him again. You got it? And that is just a trick from the enemy to pull you in, to deceive you. You got it? To make you think that that way is a good way, and you know, for you to get in that way and find out that there's nothing good about that way. You got it? Oh, sin is pleasurable, but it's only pleasurable for a season. You got it? And then after that comes death and destruction. You got it? And so we have to have this disciplined approach to life that I'm going to do it God's way. You got it? True integrity is me doing the right thing when nobody's looking. It's easy to put on a good show and do the right thing when everybody's around, but what about when nobody's around? I have to have this disciplined approach to living that I'm always going to do it God's way, all right? And to the degree that I have a resolve to do things God's way, I will win regardless of any challenge that I face in life. I will win regardless of any challenge that I face in life. Now, on Sunday, if you remember, we discussed our resolve to access this grace. We've been talking about this grace, and we spent the whole lesson on talking about our resolve to access this grace. So tonight, we're going to spend our time talking about our regimen to prepare for this outpouring of grace. So we're going to talk about our regimen to access this grace. There's an outpouring of grace that God wants to pour on you to help you in every area of life. And so, but we have to release faith for it. How many know that all things are possible if we believe? Isn't that right? And so, all things are possible. And when you begin to understand the Word of God supersedes any situation. So faith, hear me now, does not deny facts, but it overlooks facts based on truth. And we understand that our truth is the Word of God. Isn't that right? John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we understand that the word of God is our truth, and that is what we operate by. And so we've got to understand that faith doesn't deny facts. You got it? But it understands that it is what it is. But I'm not going to stop and sulk. I'm not going to stop and complain. No, no, no. It is what it is. I'm not going to deny the fact, but I'm going to overlook it based on the truth of God's word that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, he always causes me to triumph. And so even if I'm in a challenging time right now, he's going to help me triumph in this challenging time. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. So go with me to Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9. There it is on the screen. And let us not be, what's that next word, class? Weary. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we just don't quit. That's the bottom line. I told you on Sunday, the reason I always win is because I never stop fighting. The reason I always win is because I don't quit. I understand that this, watch this, that we live by faith. You got it? And this is how we live. We live, we don't, we, and we don't live by faith for a season. You got it? We live by faith. And so no matter what comes or no matter what goes, I always approach it with an attitude of faith. And I think that that's the key between me and a lot of people. I'm not going to let anything negative come out of my mouth. And I don't have flawed criteria. Well, it won't work based on this. No. He always calls me to triumph. So the writer says to don't get weary in well-doing. When you're walking by faith, when you're confessing the word of God, when you're giving, when you're doing the right things, sometimes, you know, the enemy will launch out an all-out attack on you to get you to start saying the wrong things. You know, because he'll the Bible talks about the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those are mental thoughts, and he'll start shooting them at you left and right and left and right. Because what he wants you to do is he wants you to buy into that thought, to get into your heart so it can come out of your mouth. You got it? Because we know out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that he wants you to start saying the wrong thing, because he knows if you say the wrong thing, that's what's going to be produced in your life. You know, Jesus says the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. So words are powerful. My words make me or my words break me. And that is why it's important. I correct people all the time. You got it? When they say stuff. And they say, well, Pastor, you know what I mean. I say, no, I know what you said. You got it? Because God doesn't go by what you mean, he goes by what you said. Because the order in the earth, his law of confession teaches us that I'm going to have what I say. So I have to watch what I say. All right? Okay, so a couple points as it relates to this regimen. Number one, you must be established in his settled word. Oh, this is going to be good tonight. All right. The writer says, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled. Y'all remember that? It's just like rain that came down and returned not void, that it'll accomplish the thing that it set out to do. The word of God has to be the final authority in your life. I don't care what you heard somebody say on TV. I don't care what book you read. I don't care what some religious person told you. I don't care what some doubting person, even if they're a Christian, told you. The word of God has to be the final authority in your life. All right. And so the word of God, it has to be our compass. And you know, a compass tells you which way to go. Right. It always gives you the right direction. Well, for the believer, the word of God is our compass, and we must trust the word. Everybody say trust the word. Yep. Trust the word over your feelings. Trust the word over what other people say. You've got to learn to trust the word over everything. Numbers, matter of fact, go with me to Numbers 23 and 19. Numbers 23 and 19. So I trust the word. Watch this, because anytime you get in a situation that's unfavorable, and the longer you're in it, sometimes it seems like the worse you get. If you're not careful, you'll start backing up in faith. If you're not careful, you'll start overanalyzing the situation. Watch this, not based on feelings, but based on, not based on faith, but based on your feelings. You got it? And you can't do that. The writer says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? The writer's like, come on. If he said it, isn't he going to do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? How many know God's word is always good? Not sometimes good, but God's word is always good. And so you have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. And so my only criteria is the word of God. And don't allow negative people to pull you backwards, causing you to look at the natural. Let me say it again. Don't let negative people, all right? I don't care who they are, saved, unsaved. How many know there's some negative Christians? Because everybody don't believe the word like you believe it. So don't let negative people pull you backwards, causing you to look at the natural. We walk by and not by, all right? And so we walk by faith and not by sight. And so, you know, because see, if you're in a fight long enough, human reasoning, intellect, those kind of things, they will try to override the word of God. Because if you're in a fight and some things go wrong, you'll start questioning the word of God. But the Bible says the word is what it is, right? And so somebody will say, well, no, come on, let's reason. No. What do you mean, less reason? I'm going to go by the word of God. You've been to three doctors. Let's just kind of look at this thing. Now, I understand you're going to that church, and I know it's helping you and everything, but let's be real. That's how people talk. The reality of it. You sick. No, I'm not. Oh, God. Look, I'm saying this because I love you. No, you don't. And I cannot afford for you to pull me into your reality. My faith is my reality. Jesus. Everybody say, my faith is my reality. And you have to live by that. My faith is my reality. All things are possible to him that believe. If I say to the mountain, to the situation, to the negative report, to the thing that's coming against me, you know, if I say to it, be thou removed and cast into the sea, it's got to go. That is my reality. I win even when it looks like I'm losing. That is my reality. Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. That is my reality. I might bend, but I will not. That is my reality. And my whole thing is either we're going to believe the word or we're not going to believe the word. Isn't that right? So my faith is my reality. The word of God is my reality. And I walk by faith and not by sight or by sense realm. And so I choose. I can't afford to allow you to pull me into your reality. My faith is my reality. Everybody say, my faith is my reality. Alrighty then, my faith is my reality. And so I have to have this resolve, and then I have to have this regimen. And then this regimen, we said that number one, that you must be established in a settled word. That is the first thing you have to do. You have to say, okay, I'm resolving that this word, the word of God is the word of God, and I don't care what anybody says, I'm walking this word out. Isn't that right? I'm walking this word out, right? I remember when so many testimonies that we have, current and past, in our church. And I remember when Eric and Shirley were believing for a baby, and things weren't working out, you know, and the doctors were giving them bad reports. But they did not allow their bad report to become their reality. They allowed the word of God to become their reality. You got it? How old is Jalea now? 6. And 6 years later, I saw her on Sunday walking through the foyer with a bag of cookies. Give me a high five. You got it? But their faith was their reality. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so you got to understand that, you know, and so we walk by faith and not by sight. We gave you a testimony of Miss Peachy. I like to give you current ones and ones back in the day, because we understood if he did it before, do it again. Same guy right now, same guy back then. You got it? Miss Peachy told him, no, I don't have a blockage. You see whatever you want to on that picture, and, you know, ain't no problem. I'll come back if you want me to, but I'm just telling you, my faith is my reality. I am healed. And either you're going to believe the word or you're not going to believe the word. You understand what I'm saying? So my faith is my, I walk by faith and not by sight, not by sense realm. I believe God. All right, number 2, everybody say number 2. You must be excited about his sovereign will. You must be excited that God wants to help me. That I have the creator of the universe. I have Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the infinite, everlasting God who is on my side, that makes a commitment that he's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. And I have trust in his sovereign will, that before the foundation of the earth, he knew I would be here in this moment of time. And he has already laid out everything that I will ever need in a raw material state to make sure that all my needs will be met according to heaven's best. This young man is teaching up in here. That is my reality. Ephesians 3 and 20, we know this one. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, and we got to keep that all in there, not some, but above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh on the inside of us. And we have to understand that when we say according to the power, we're talking about Holy Spirit. He is there to lead me. He's there to guide me. He's there to help me. He's there to check me. He's there to correct me. And I need to make sure that the Holy Spirit is the loudest voice in my life. I don't listen to anybody over the Holy Spirit. But hear this. But you need to hear this closely. But you need to make sure that you learn the voice of God so you don't think something's God that's not God. I was talking to a pastor the other day. He's got a situation, he's trying to help somebody. And immediately the person said, God told me. He said, when he said God told me, his hands are tied. You got it. And so y'all know me. I don't stand up every Sunday saying God said this and God said that and God said that. You understand? No. You have to know how to hear the voice of God, you know, for your life. I believe that this point, number two, being excited about his sovereign will, even though we don't go by feelings, I think that when we talk about this excitement, we're really talking about this expectation of faith. We're talking about the reason I'm excited is not that I'm just all in my feelings. You know, even though feelings do play a part, we do understand that, right? But I'm excited, and I'm in anticipation, and I'm in expectation. And being in a constant state of expectation is what causes me to be full of joy. See, joy, faith is not frustrating. Everybody say faith is not frustrating. So when I'm in faith, I'm in anticipation and expectation that God is moving on my behalf. You remember a few weeks ago, we read the scripture that said the Lord is doing great things. Oh, man, I got off the plane today, and it seems like, you know, had to, you know, I've been Sunday, I left, but Sunday I went to my niece's birthday party, and then I hopped the plane, and then got to Charlotte, sat on the second plane, you know, for 2.5 hours because there was a delay, then didn't get to Houston until 12, 1 o'clock, had to be up the next morning, been rolling, was up late last night, did a little TV thing, had to get back on the plane, had another delay this morning, and you would think that I was tired. But when I got off the plane, I said, Father, I thank you that the Lord is doing great things at Without Limits Christian Center. He's doing great things in the lives of the people. I called every seat filled, every service in Jesus' name. Well, Pastor, but when you walked in and every seat wasn't filled, don't cease, don't change the word, but the word of God is going to change them seats. And if I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word, are y'all understanding what this young man is saying? And you have to do the same thing in your life. You got it? So even when you look at something that doesn't look the way you want it, you can't fall back in faith or worry about what somebody else is going to say. No, I walk by faith and not by sight. You got it. I say what the word says, and if I keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word manifest in my life. All right. So, number three. Yeah. I'm number three because I don't want to hold you too long. I want to let you out on time. Praise the Lord. Last week, we got a little happy. All right, number three, you must eliminate satanic worries. You must eliminate satanic worries. Now, my wife, she came up in the Holiness Church. I'm not knocking that. I'm just making observation. They always had these little cliches and things that they would say. So when we first got married, I would be, like, concerned about something. I wouldn't say that I was in fear or anything like that. But, you know, especially when I'm first starting to learn faith, you know, I'm going to analyze and reanalyze some situations. You got it? And then my wife would say this thing that would get me so upset. She's like, Bae, worryation is a sin. Well, thank you very much for your support. I know worryation is a sin. So you must eliminate satanic worries in your life. What does that mean? Choose not to believe the evil report. Always choose to believe the report of the Lord. So if I'm in a challenge, if I've got something going on, I have to find out what the Word of God says concerning my situation, and I have to choose to believe what the Word of God says, oh, watch this, above any symptoms I have, any situation I'm going through. You understand what I'm saying? And I choose to believe the Word of God over that because I understand that the Word of God will supersede those things. Does that make sense? Yeah, so I don't worry about the evil report. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I don't worry about statistics. I don't worry about all these other things. I believe the report of the Lord because the report of the Lord, it overrides any test, any trial, any opposition that'll come my way. And he's made a promise that he's not going to leave me, that he's not going to forsake me, that he's going to be with me. So even if people back up, it's okay because he's still there. You got it? And so, go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Y'all getting blessed?
Yes.
All right. So you have to eliminate satanic worries. Worryation is a sin. She's making faces at me on the front row. I think it's in our bylaws that you're not allowed to make faces at the preacher on the front row. Now she's rolling her eyes at me. Oh, I'm so glad to be home. God, I'm so glad to be home. Oh, I couldn't wait to get home, see my girl. Y'all know I love my wife, right? And I feel that every man, you know, we're going to come back to this in a minute. I haven't forgot where I was. But I do. I feel that every man should just be head over heels for his wife. I do. The Bible says that, brothers, when we get married, we get a double portion on the same day. He says, when a man has found a wife, he's found a, and it says, and obtained favor from the, I get a good thing and favor all in the same day. That ain't bad. That ain't bad. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like I have favor. That's because you said it. Because that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says you found a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. Maybe the problem is you're not lining up with the Bible because you have to line up with the Bible because the Bible's not going to line up with you. And so maybe I have to change my perspective and realize God has given me a good thing. He's given me a smart, intelligent woman of God. He's given me somebody to be by my side to help me along the way. He's given me a partner for life. He's given me a prayer warrior. He's given me somebody that's never going to walk away from me. He's given me a good thing and some favor on the same day. Is there not anything I wouldn't do for my wife? You better believe I'd do anything for that girl. Anything within my means, because I ain't going to rob nobody. You understand what I'm saying? But anything within my means. And if I can't do it right now, this is true. My wife has to be careful what she say. Because if she say she want it, Big Daddy going to work on it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm serious. And so she had to learn to stop saying stuff. I was just talking. No, don't do that around me. I'm not God, but I'm like God. You understand what I'm saying? I am not God. But the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this earth. And so, I'll fight a bear for that girl. We was in the neighborhood a couple years ago. And we was working out. Aren't you glad you came to Tuesday night Bible study? Say again. I have five. No, hold on. Let me check my ID, make sure I'm still the pastor of this church. Yep, it said James McIver. I think I'm still the pastor. I bought that clock. Okay, praise the Lord. She only saying that because I'm talking about her. See, now, if I was teaching good, because last week we went over, she said, babe. She said, nobody noticed the time. It was incredible. So she don't mind when I go over. It's just when I start talking about her. See, I done copped her game. Did they say that anymore? Pete? No, I copped it. Okay, so you done text Courtney and told her to come on in? So we was walking through the neighborhood in my neighborhood and, working out and that kind of thing. And we were walking this way. And as we're walking, about 20 feet ahead of us, a bear comes out. But the wonderful thing is, as he came out, he didn't come out straight. Or he didn't come out looking at us. He came on an angle, so he didn't see us. So I'm walking, and my wife's like, babe, what's that? I said, oh, it's probably a fox. So she stops in her tracks. So I'm still walking. Then I realize, that is not a fox. So we turn around, right? And I wanted to run, but I can't. No. I can, but I can't. Why? Because sister girl can't run as fast as I can. And I can't leave her. I can't leave her. Because, you know, brother man, I'm like a track all-star. You understand what I'm saying? I'm fast. Am I fast? I'm fast. I'm 41 and can beat the teens running. There's just some things that God gave me, and that's just one of them. Speed. I have speed. So we turned around, and we started going the other way. So I'm thinking, this is serious. What do I do if that bear starts coming our way? Because if that bear picks up speed, I'm concerned that she's not going to be able to outrun him. You got it? And so, I'm a resourceful guy. You understand? I'm a Marine. You got it. Well, you ain't in anymore. Once a Marine, always a Marine. You know. So I'm a Marine. We adapt. We improvise. We overcome. And so, I'm looking around because I've learned in the Word of God that everything you need is around you. Everything you need is around you. The people you need, the resources you need, the favor you need, the open doors you need, everything you need is around you. I know I'm telling a story, but I know exactly where I am. And so I saw the GDS trash can with the lid on it. And I said, if push comes to shove, I'll pick up Sister Girl and put her in there and close it so he can't see her. And then I'll run across the street so he can follow me. You understand what I'm saying? I can't believe he's going to put her in the trash. I'm going to keep her alive. And then sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So, well, what you going to do with the bear? I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. But at least I know she's safe. Isn't that right? Yeah. So ain't nobody going to die. But if somebody got to die, I'm going to go to heaven early. You understand what I'm saying? And she can just stay back and take care of the kids and spend all the millions. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? Because she's rich now, but when Brother Man go to heaven, no, brother, since I'm this way, because brothers, if you don't have a life insurance policy on your wife, shame on you. You shouldn't go to the mall shopping if you don't have a life insurance policy. That's just how I believe. You're going to buy them $300 sneakers and you can't pay $60 a month for a $1 million policy? There's something wrong with that. You got it? No, I believe in that. No, because I don't believe I'm going anywhere but in case of faith failure, and people have them. You got it? No, I've seen people go crazy. I'm like, I knew that dude. He was a faith guy. And so I don't believe it, but, you know, and so I tell him, you know. Now, you know, just so y'all know, like, you know, pastor go to heaven early. Do it big. Celebrate me big. And don't roll me in and don't roll me out. You get the strong man, put him up on his shoulder. I'm serious. I don't care what the funeral director tells you. You got to know my man of God ain't rolling nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? I see some of y'all don't like to talk about that. You draw. I'm not going nowhere. You got it? I'm really pushing the point that we need to make sure that we take care of our spouses, because I have seen guys go home early and then they couldn't even pay for the funeral. Does that make sense? So wisdom is the principal thing. You got it? And so I told her, don't drive in their limos. You rent you a nice limo. Not that theirs ain't nice. I'm just saying. Rent a party limo. So have a big celebration. And then when you go to Graveside, cry a little bit. And then when you get in the car, wipe all them tears. Like, ooh, he was a good man of God. He took care of all of us. Yes, indeed. Oh, Jesus. I think that's how it ought to be. See, I know y'all don't like to talk like that, but I think that's all. I don't think that she should be sad for the next 10 years, you know, if I was to be gone. I think she should be, he was a good man of God. He took care of us and provided for us. We don't need for anything. You understand? Some brother can't be coming trying to hit up on her, talking about he'll take care of her. Baby, I don't need you to take care of me. Big Daddy already took care of me. Does that make sense? Yeah, so if she wanted to get remarried, that would be up to her. See, I know y'all don't like this. I know it, but I'm helping somebody. See, all that will be up to her because I have made sure that she's okay. And see, my policies, they're on, what they are, babe, cash on return, no, what are they called? Return on premium. So I get my money back anyways. So it's just a savings plan. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, that's a little much. You know, Pastor, you know, I've had some struggles with my wife. Well, I'm sure she's had some struggles with you. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself as a ransom. Basically, he died. So if the Bible says that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, Christ was not only willing to die for the church, but he died for the church. You got it. You ought to be willing to die for your wife. Now, is that the Bible or is not the Bible? You got it. Yeah, but I ain't going to say nothing else till you clap. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. Now, I saw y'all draw up when I was talking about life insurance. I ain't going nowhere. But the reason I have to push that is because a lot of people don't want to take care. Does that make sense? And we have to be responsible. Does that make sense? You got it? And so, you know, so I'm not going anywhere. I can't go nowhere. I got too much to do. I have too much vision. I got too much work to do. You got it? And besides, sister girl would miss me. She got to see me every day. Yeah, when I'm gone, she got to FaceTime me just to see my face. Yeah. So it's 8:03, but can I flip that thing real quick? And just like husbands have to be a certain way to their wives, wives need to be a certain way to their husbands. Yeah. Well, I wish I would have married. You didn't. And you can win with the one you got. Isn't that right? So instead of y'all being at odds, I wish this and I wish that, and you ain't my mom and you ain't my dad, and you better wish I wasn't and all that. Instead of doing all that, come together in faith, work this word, and watch God do some amazing things in your life. Does that make sense? I ain't cooking. I'm tired. Whew. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, I believe in reciprocal. And I believe if I'm going to go all out for my wife, then my wife should be willing to go all out for me. I believe, watch this, that I spend my life trying to make hers good. And she spends her life trying to make mine good. And that's what makes our marriage so incredible. Does that make sense? So she not waiting on, well, you know, he buy me another pair of shoes, then, you know, I'll do something for him. No, we got teens. I can't say that. All right. All right. Okay. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Yeah, better stop there. Better stop there.